George Jeffreys ate. George Jeffreys woke up in Rio. George Jeffreys woke up in Rio. George Bush Jr. was on the TV, obsessed as usual with Baghdad. Then they showed the de Menezes shooting, the numbed Brazilian family of the personable electrician shot to bits by London terrorist police. Here it was Carnival. Claire was curled up like a small white cat in George's bed, but her life was clearly in danger. The whole plot of Black Orpheus was haunting George. The mists rising from shanties in the morning, as if from some succulent graveyard. The insinuating jazz which was actually trickling through his window. Claire, like an Eurydice pursued by an assassin in skeleton costume, had wriggled through his dreams, hiding amongst oblivious nudes and the sweating floats of flowers. In reality, her pursuer, Lieutenant Corcovado, the hunchback, was the leader of a death squad she had just photographed about the murder of some street children a few months earlier. She woke when George stroked a fine silver hair strand from her mouth corner, smiled high, and murmured an apology for making him anxious. The usual downy pressure of her head, light as a form of anti-gravity, on his shoulder turned as heavy as hard metal. Despite her having killed as a child and later, he thought she herself was too streamlined, efficient, to be a real grown-up assassin. They, in his experience, were inclined to blunder about, to be strangely accident-prone, like Princip, who started World War I after giving up and wandering off for coffee, then shooting Franz Ferdinand when his car broke down. But death in the street wasn't something he wanted to focus on today. He had only been there, anyway, to interview death squad survivors, but Claire, of course, had charmed the children, knew their secrets more than he. They told her heroic facts involving threats and torture. The lieutenant pursuing her was mad enough to murder, a tourist or human rights observer. She held his picture in her cell phone beside her, although George had sent it to the internet at once. She wouldn't leave until the kids were in protection, he hoped tomorrow or next day, and anyway, she laughed, I want to watch the party, don't you? Sex en masse, but stylized that is fun, and Venezuela is sponsoring a samba competition. George feared he was too turned on by exhibitions for the act to be much more than functional, but Chavez's samba for socialism seemed to show some enterprise, if he didn't really have to dance. Claire, of course, might well have decided to samba all around him, silverly in the street, in 6-inch heels. The death squad man would probably skip the samba. George, the Rottweiler, padded close beside her, and she kissed him with spontaneous grace as they strolled onto the street in Santa Teresa. George wondered why the place had so much glamour. Maybe its closeness to the African, the Portuguese, the proximity of mountains to the sea. At any rate, the air excited genuinely. They were overtaken by a blocco of drummers, singers, and dancers. George winced. He wasn't braced for the dancing so soon, and some wore crystal G-strings. Claire reassured, they're just from a samba school. Bright screens of limpid plasma reflected silken bottoms. In shop windows all around them, the music, now so loud and dense that objects, people, might vanish into its hot fog like ice. Jeffreys asked, hiding in the professional, does this man actually have a spinal curvature, or are they talking about his soul? She said, he sort of crouches, and the hunchback is what the mountain the big statue of Christ is on is called here. If you like, with some discernment, we could catch a bus to the train up there and look over the city. George grinned. Later, after Claire had won a prize from Venezuela, maybe in consolation for such a blithe dancer with such a frozen partner, they looked up and there was the lieutenant crouched intent behind a crowd of dancers and clearly watching Claire.